September 18th, 1979, talking to Simeon Mountain in Nulato, and we're talking about his trip to Rome.
Okay, I believe I said we had about one more year to go, so I talked it over with her again, and she said, no, I don't think I want to go with you. And I told her why, and she said, well, because you didn't promise yourself that you were going to take me. When you first made the promise. I told her I didn't know you were going to be my wife. So I'll go for a while. Okay, I'll go with you. So we went to Fairbanks that winter for the winter carnival. And while we were up there, we went to the federal building, you know, to the court building, and we asked about getting a passport. We didn't know how to go about it. So this clerk told us, you have to go to see a photographer and get a picture taken, and then we'll start from there. So we said, okay, and we went down. It was right in Kushma, between first and second. Right alongside the First National Bank. We went to see a photographer there and we got our pictures taken. Then we went back up to the federal building and we filled out an application. And, I believe we paid $24 each, $48 to get the passport. And the clerk told us we would get it maybe in 2-3 weeks. We had plenty of time. I never make no kind of arrangement about reservations or anything. Well, anyway, we came home and I talked to the station manager in Galena about how we can go about getting to Rome. I didn't know. All we had to do was go to see a travel agent, you know. But again, I guess it was all God's will, because we got with a good group just by accident one day in the post office and looking through magazines, any kind of papers. And here I came across a note saying something about a trip to Rome out of New York. And to write to this travel agent. So we started writing back and forth. And then we had to put a deposit for him to start working, I guess. I sent him the deposit. And I believe it was 30 days before the departure date, we had to give the whole amount, which was, I believe, $567 each from Rome and from New York to Rome, 3 weeks over there, everything taken care of, all our hotels, bus, guide, tips, meals, all except about 4 or 5 meals we had to pay on our own. Back to New York, $567 each or something like that. And then it costs, leave another 1,000 between here, Anchorage, Chicago, Washington, D.C. We stayed in Washington, D.C. for 3 days, I believe. We went through the Washington Mall. Went to the Senate buildings, went to the White House, went to see the Washington Monument, Lincoln Monument, and all those places, Arlington National Cemetery. We went to see the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. We saw them changing guards. then to New York. Going over, we stayed in New York only about 6 hours. But we made arrangements to stay there for 3 days on the way back, 3 or 4 days. So we would tour New York too. And then back to Seattle, Anchorage, and here was another 1,200 or something like that. So I started riding back and forth, and they told us that our departure date out of New York was October 15th, I believe, somewhere around there. Anyway, we left a couple of days ahead of time to get to Anchorage, and we got to New York in time to catch our flight. Here we got with a group of about 150 people. So, the travel agent, Madrigo travel agent out of New York, did all our planning for us. I didn't know that that was all you had to do, was see a travel agent, and it don't cost you a penny. Travel agent. I guess the airlines and the hotels, the bus companies and all that give the travel agent percent, you know. Otherwise, it doesn't cost the traveler anything. So we landed in Brussels, in Belgium. We changed planes and we went on to Italy. I believe the first town we landed was in Milan. And, we went to from one end to the other. We ended up in Rome. We saw the Holy Father. There was 30,000-40,000 of us in the auditorium, and the Pope gave address in Latin, I believe it was, or Italian. Anyway, there was about 7 or 8 different people translating it, one after the other, what the Pope said. And at the end they start singing the Paternoster in Latin, and here I was singing it without even thinking, and maybe it's been 20 years ago was the last time I heard it, 15-20 years ago, and we never used to sing it in church, only the Father used to sing it, Paternoster. It's Our Father, and Father Bo used to sing it alone, but I used to sing it along with him. And here I was singing it, and Josephine, she never heard, looking at me like that, and she, I wonder what's going on. And she, most of the words I know. You want me to sing it? I was just singing it the other day in Cayo. I was in Cape River. I was telling my buddy about it. Now I forgot it. Oh yes, it was. That's very good. Oh yes. The food was excellent. The only thing that was hard was water. And it was hot even though we went over in October, part of November. We had to drink water. We drank 2 quarts of water every meal. And we had to pay extra for the water. It was 300 lire a quart. And I believe at that time, 100 lire was about 17 cents. It'd go up and down. And some days the American dollar used to be worth more. So that's the days you want to turn in your American money into lire, you know. I never knew that there were other countries that used a dollar, let's say a dollar. So I got used to saying American dollar. I think three other countries say dollars for their money too.
Did you go to any other
countries besides Italy? We went to part of Switzerland and part of France one day. So we were in three countries through the border. One day we were in three countries.
What was it like being in places that spoke different languages?
It was very hard for us. But there was a lot of English speaking people in Rome or in Italy. Compared to Japan.
Different
trip. We were going back to Rome, just finished Rome first, Italy. We were going to go over the border, over the Alps, swinging cars, but it was too windy. I was disappointed. Besides being scared, you have to go up on what you call them, cable lifts. First at the bottom, you start with a lot of people, maybe 24. You go a third of the way, and go down to 12 maybe. And you go up so far, and then you go down to 8. And when you get to the top, to cross the border, you cross on swinging cables, and two at a time. And I guess the cable cars, what do you call them? They go like this. And they stay there for only a minute or two, and you get to jump while they're stationary. I keep going like that in different places. I was anxious to make that trip, but they brought us back down from two-thirds of the way because it was too windy. They said it was 100 miles an hour up, way up on top. So we came back down and we went to the border. Through the tunnel, the longest tunnel in the world, they say, 8.2 miles or something like that. And there was guards on both sides, armed guards. Scary, you know. They come in and check for your passports on both sides of the border, on both sides of the tunnel. Then we ended up in Switzerland, just part of Switzerland. Which were in the part of France, and then back into Italy. And we went to a lot of other towns, Turin, Florence, Pompeii, Venice. I liked Venice very much. how you say it, Venice or Venus? Venus, yeah. It's on water, you know.
Is that what you liked about it, the water?
Pardon?
Is that what you liked about it, the water?
No, I liked the way the city was, you know, just the way the city is built. But it smelled, you know, it smelled the water, it stale the water. But, it's really a beautiful, beautiful town. St. Mark, went to St. Mark's Square. Saw and heard the bells that been ringing since, I forgot, 1400 or somewhere around there. They'd ring every hour.
Did a lot of people ask you about your trip?
Oh yes, oh yes. We had a big party. And back town, and one of my friends had opened house. And on my way home, I bought a case of whiskey. Just for a party. And I asked this person if we could have another open house in his house. Oh, he was glad because they were still drinking. So we had coffee and cake and booze, wine, and a nice party. I told them about part of the trip and how we were glad to be home. And everybody liked it.
Mm. So is there any other place you want to travel now?
Yeah. My brother tells me to go to next time to go to Holland. Copenhagen or Amsterdam. I don't even know that. Where that is. But he was over there and he told me that I have to get over there. Yeah. And I'll have to make another trip or two before I get too old. Just to see another country. And we got a free trip. Yes. I got picked to be a chef on the school board, and my wife was picked. I believe there was about 20 or 30 people putting their names to the district, and they just pulled my name and Josephine's name out by luck. And our boy Paul went along too. So three members of the family went over to Japan. Beautiful country. I think it's more beautiful than Italy. But if I had a choice, I think I would go back to Italy. The food is good over there, like I said. In Japan, the food is it's a lot different. We're almost starved. Kentucky Fried Chicken and McDonald's. That's the one that saved us. Almost every.
Like all the raw fish and seaweed.
Pardon?
Like the raw fish and seaweed.
No way. Raw white fish for breakfast. Raw salmon eggs for breakfast. And at each meal, breakfast, lunch, and supper, you have a little table. Each person have his own table, and you sit on the floor. You all use kimonos, as you call them. Sit on the floor, and I counted a couple of times, between 30 and 35 different things to eat on each table. And here, you know, at home, when we eat three or four different things, I think it's, you know, it's really good. But over there, you know, there's a little bit of everything. The only thing that saved us that one day was rice. We were in really remote town. I forgot the name of it. Anyway, that was an alternate place. The place we were supposed to go was 15-20 miles away. Takayama, I think, was the place we were supposed to go. But it's a popular city too, and it's full. So we had to go 15-20 miles to another place. Kind of remote. Everything was Japanese, you know, all the food. No elevator, and you have to walk up six stories. And everybody was eating only rice. And about the third day, I guess, the management found out, you know, that they better change the diet, otherwise they won't starve. So they start cooking chicken, meat and stuff. They start cooking it raw, even chicken. So they asked Josephine how to cook it, and she told them. So every day after that, every meal, they start giving us American food. That's the only place we really had a hard time. About 5 or 6 days we're in that town. And every city we were going to were having fall festivals. It's something like stick dance. And they almost dance the same way. It was on every evening for about 3-4 hours. The whole town show up in, you know, in the city squares. And then you go home.
Do you remember what they call that dance?
They just call it Fall Festival. Oh, the first time, before I went to those places, I went to a bar one evening. Wanted to see if there was any difference, you know, in our way. So, 3-4 of us went out. Went into one bar. Pretty soon we saw one man, you know, getting up, and he went out and he started dancing with himself, twisting. Pretty soon another man. Pretty soon we see two men going out and dancing together, just like alongside each other. Pretty soon we see a girl alone. Pretty soon you see two girls. Then other times you see a boy and a girl. I thought, you know, they were crazy. There's something wrong. Some screw loose or something like that in their minds. Till I start going to this festivals, we find out they go out there and they dance alone. That's like when we have stick dance, a lot of people like to dance alone, like to move your whole body. So here that's what they were doing out in the city squares. So they just come off from around and they go into the bar and they dance the same way. That's one thing I remember. And over there, by this time of the year, corn is their hot dogs. They have corn stands all over, you know, broiling it, frying it, any way you want to cook it. And you see people all evening walking around with a stick to the corn, you know, and eating it. They have so much corn over there, I guess. They have it for hot dogs. Then I went down to New Mexico this spring too, you know. It's a district artist group. It was a nice trip. I went to Albuquerque and Santa Fe. That was the two biggest cities. And went to a lot of small towns. harder names.
Well, I just have one other question. When you're seeing the sun, I just was wondering if you're seeing the leaves
on the street. No, but my wife does. I'm sorry I didn't tell you to come up to record some of the singing last night. They were singing, you know, after the place where the person died. It was really good. But I didn't know they were going to sing, you know. There were some good singers. I don't know no Indian songs. Sebastian McGinty. He's from originally from here, but he moved to Celtic. Well, I guess Nalato is his first home. We have Tassie. Yes. And Charlie Brush. We have Clement Ismailka from Celtic. He's a good singer. Franklin Madras from Celtic. Dorothy Summers from the Lido. And Angel Huntington from Galena is a good singer too. Good singer.
And who else is singing?
All these people that I name. Yes. That's really lively. They have tapes. Different people have tapes. If you had time and you wanted a tape, you can probably ask Tassie to record off her tape. Can't think of anything else.
I just wanted a question about the singing. Yes, a lot of people say, you know, Mulatto is just really strong for stick dancing and singing. And I was wondering why that is.
I guess because we have good singers. And we have some lively songs. I remember in my grandpa and grandma, Charlie and Mary, and my other grandpa, Jack Patsy's days, people my age, teenagers in those days, were against them. They used to sing till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock maybe, every night during the stick dance week. The stick dance lasts a week, you know, starts on a Monday and ends on next Sunday. I remember the kids in my age used to talk against my grandma and grandpa, used to call them names. I forgot what they used to call them. Different singers' names, you know. They were against them because they wanted to dance, modern dance, waltz, and foxtrot, one step, maybe square dance, and things like that. They wanted violin and guitar. It was after them, after their days, that the twist came along. But from a few years ago, it turned around. Now, the teenagers, even the younger group, 10 years old, 11 maybe, want Indian singing. And, a lot of them dance during the stick dance week, go out in the middle of the floor and dance with yourself, you know. I don't know what caused it, but it just turned completely around. And everybody wants Indian singing.
Are you glad to see that?
Oh yes, I'm happy to see it. I enjoy it too, although I don't know. I don't have the voice to sing, and I can't. I don't know any songs anyway.
The Jack Patsy is
He used to be a good singer. They sing their songs even now. They carry their songs on down. You know, my grandpa Charlie Mountain, my grandma Mary Mountain. A lot of those songs that they're singing are the songs they made. My grandma used to make song in one afternoon. You just start thinking of a song. Pretty soon she starts humming it. Pretty soon she put the words together and she's got a song. We have some young people my age that made song. Pauline Peter made song for her son, Carl. Dorothy Summers, who's about my age, made song for Irene Minook. No, for her sister, Adele. My aunt Irene Minook sang the song to her in her sleep. I just went to bed one evening and my aunt Irene started singing this song to her for Adele. And she just woke up in the morning singing it. So she went back to see my aunt Jessie Supri that time. And auntie told her, put it in a, record it before you forget it. So she put it in the tape recorder. And they sing it even now. Very good song. So we had two young women in town that make song. Tessie made a lot of songs. Tessie Saunders made a lot of songs. She made a song for Leo and Ray, the one I talked about a lot. She made a song for them. She made a song for Josephine's sister, Eva. That's the other one I couldn't remember. She died not too long ago. Made a lot of songs. Sebastian made a few songs too. He made a lively song for my grandma. My other grandma in Caltag is Dana Madras. A lot of these songs that they're singing were made, oh, maybe 60, 70 years ago. And it is carried on down. I think the reason why people used to be crazy for stick dance a long time ago, just my thought, is because it's twisting type dance. So Fred Stickman, the person that just passed away, told me a few years ago. 8, 9, 10 years ago, I think, he told me that we started to twist before white man. That's what stick dance is. So I don't know how many years ago, it started. But if you see a stick dance, that's what it is. People just go out there and twist, and you're singing with them. Singing at the same time. You have to sing. Otherwise, if you're not singing it yourself, it's hard to dance. Even while everybody sings the same tune. 2-3 different tunes. Fred is right. We start twisting before white man. He fell asleep.
Yeah. Okay.
We must be about at the end.
Yeah. Okay. It's the end of taping.